On today's episode of Let's Locums.
So I would work and then sign out the following Monday at 7 a.m. And my flight, there was always an Atlanta-Paris flight Monday at 3 p.m. that I would hop back on. And I would be back that following morning, Tuesday morning, I think, is that was, yeah, that's what it would turn into. By 6 a.m. I would land. I'd be back at our place between 7:30 and 8, depending on Paris traffic, and I'd take my kids to school. That was my job, my goal. I just want to get back.
That is, you just described being a badass jet setting.
I mean, but it was so worth it. It was so worth it, Mark, because then I had those following, you know, 4 weeks to be with my kids.
Welcome to Let's Locums, the podcast hosted by Drs. Mark and Allison Royer, ENT surgeons and the founders of SpecialtyLocums.com. Join us as we explore the world of locum tenens and help you navigate the options for a flexible and rewarding medical career. Hi, welcome to Let's Locums. My name is Mark Royer. I'm an ear, nose, and throat surgeon and locum tenens physician. Our guest today is Dr. Gopi Shah. She's a trailblazer in the field of pediatric otolaryngology and a passionate advocate for professional and personal growth through locum tenens work. As a co-founder of Backtable ENT and co-host of the popular Backtable ENT series, Dr. Shah brings deep expertise and engaging insights to conversations about medicine, education, and innovation. She's previously served as the director of the Pediatric Otolaryngology Fellowship at UT Southwestern and the co-director of the Airway Simulation Lab, where she mentored residents in advanced airway techniques. Dr. Shah was also the surgical representative at large for the Medical Executive Committee in Children's Health in Dallas, contributing to hospital-wide initiatives and patient care excellence. In this episode, we'll explore how Dr. Shah leveraged locum tenens opportunities to live abroad in Europe with her family and enrich her professional journey. Join us as we discuss her experiences balancing locums work, family, and leadership, and how pediatric locum tenens has enhanced her career. Dr. Shah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here, Mark. This is really an honor. I love what you guys are doing, so I'm really excited for our conversation today.
Well, I'm super nervous because I love your podcast that you and Dr. Agin do. Can you tell me a little bit about Backtable and Backtable ENT? I'm very focused on the Backtable ENT side of things, but I know that's just one component of what you and your husband have created and grown.
So really the visionary and founder is my husband, Aaron Fritz, for Backtable. He's an interventional radiologist. He was out in private practice. And, you know, when you're first starting your practice, you're kind of like, oh, what, for them, I guess, needle biopsies or, you know, it'd be for us, like, what balloon should I use to dilate the airway? Or what sinus balloon are people using? And so you're kind of trying to figure out what tools and devices people are using. And so initially the thought was, wouldn't it be cool if we had like an app or a way in which, you know, providers, docs, proceduralists can rate or comment on different devices. But two issues with that. One was you had to, A, have somebody create this app, and B, have people get on the app, right? Physicians don't have time for that. We're busy. So to actually get on and spend 5 or 10 minutes to be like, well, let me talk about whatever device is kind of asking a lot. And so then the thought was, well, this was probably in 2017. The thought was, well, if we had a do a podcast, it's kind of like, I don't know if you ever listened to NPR's Car Talk.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Click and Clack.
Yes.
Yeah, the like Tapper Brothers.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe every Saturday.
If you had a conversation like that, would that draw people in and then engage the doc or the physician? And initially it was all IR, our colleagues, to get on this app or device. Very quickly, within the first few episodes, the realization was, hey, the product is actually, the value is actually in the podcast, in this conversation. And so then very quickly, the model changed. They started the IR show, which is now turned into vascular interventional because it, you know, has a lot of cross-relation with, you know, vascular surgery, et cetera. And then 2020, you know, we launched a second show, which was the Backtable ENT podcast. And that's with me and Ashley. And so Ash is a close friend of mine. She's my, quote, life wife is what I call her. And so, so it makes it easy, right, to kind of sustain a podcast. Because, you know, when you have somebody, a partner to help you do it. And so it keeps it fun and fresh. And so that's how I kind of met you guys. Because it was like, hey, there's Mark and Allie Royer doing something really cool with ENT locums. And so that was sort of how we first got to meet you guys.
That's right. I think you had Allie on to chat about ENT locums or ENT surgery solutions at the time, which is how we had started, and providing call coverage to different groups, and talked to her about locums. That was a great episode. I thought she did awesome.
She's awesome.
Her first podcast episode.
Yeah. So brilliant. So it was really cool because I think at that point, right, like if you think of a timeline or point in time, which is such a change in, you know, how people think, how we live, how we access tech, whatever. COVID is such a time marker. And so I think before COVID, this idea of locums was kind of like this sort of black box, kind of this unknown. And now there's a little bit more to it, and people, there's a little bit, it's getting stickier. People are kind of accessing it like, hey, there's actually an opportunity here. So to have Ali on and really talk about what you guys were doing on that podcast was really cool.
So started Backtable, Backtable E&T podcast, have had a lot of great guests. Love listening to that. How did you go from working in academics doing the Backtable E&T podcast to do locums? What inspired you to do locum tenens work, and specifically the location that you chose, which I think is particularly interesting?
Aaron and I always kind of kicked around the idea of, wouldn't it be cool to live abroad with our family? And, you know, just this idea. And this was the point in time where if we're going to do something like this, especially while our kids are young, at the time they were 8 and 10, this is the time to do it. Ended up leaving academic medicine summer of 2022. We ended up moving to Paris. And so Paris, France, not Paris, Texas, although that would have been cool too. Our kids were in the Dallas International School at the time. They had done that for about 2 years, which was French immersion. And so we knew we wanted them to have a immersive language experience if we were going to live abroad. And Paris was, in terms of, it's Paris. I mean, how can you not love Paris? But and so that opportunity came up. And yes, there's definitely some ducks to, you know, things to organize and different issues to address. But my thought was, if I can figure out how to get them into a school there, then everything else from visa and where to live, we'll figure it out. At the time, work professionally, my thought was I'm going to take at least a year off and kind of go from there. I wasn't sure professionally and clinically what my next moves were. But in terms of life moves, if you will, I knew that those were the three boxes I need to get checked off or organized, and then I could figure the rest out. That could get us to Paris.
So we talked to someone recently, a family medicine doc who moved to New Zealand for like a year and a half, probably about a year or two before you were making this decision. So moved the family and worked there. Did you consider that at all, at moving to, I mean, obviously Europe would be more difficult to do than an English speaking country where you don't have to retake the boards and everything. But did that cross your mind?
It was to take a leave. Period. So I knew I wanted that time more personally. I think in terms of, I speak Spanish and I have a little bit more confidence in my Spanish and with patient care, but I don't speak French well enough. I wasn't, at that point in time, I was not looking for clinical opportunities abroad. I wanted to learn a language. I wanted to go to museums, and I wanted my, you know, to help my kids also make the most of this experience, which would have required me to kind of be a little bit more focused on that. It was enough in itself.
Now, we were thrilled to get an email from you at some point during this decision making process that you wanted to know what locums opportunities there might be. When in this process would you have contacted our company?
Yeah. So we moved to Paris August of 2022. And then I think that October, November, you know, the PD ENT world, especially the academic one, is pretty small. And Dr. Steve Gowdy, who's at Emory, who is a division chief for the Emory groups at the Children's of Atlanta Hospital
Inventor
System.
Of the nose bot.
Yes. Right? The nose
suction
bot.
Suction out your babies. Bot.
Yeah. Yes. Had reached out like, hey, we need some help with hospital coverage at one of their locations. And I knew at that time I wasn't looking for or ready to take on like a part-time or full-time position. And so initially I was like, you know, no, it's not something, you know, we're in Paris and I don't know what our next steps are at the time. And then I thought about it and I was like, well, I wonder if a locums type of thing would ever, if he'd ever be open to that. And that's something he was, because I think they needed some coverage. And he's pretty open-minded and innovative. I kind of think about him like, dang, okay, all right, Steve, you know, kind of threw me a clinical lifeline, if you will, when I think about it retrospectively. But anyways, and so then I was like, well, you know, who am I going to reach out to kind of, how do I set this up and sort of how do I navigate this? And that's when I reached out to you and Ali. And what, so again, nobody's paying me to say this, but what I love about you guys is A, your ENTs, your physicians. And so in terms of who's going to have my back, who's going to kind of be able to very in a transparent way, help me navigate this in terms of not just salary negotiation, but liability, how to cover myself, how to from an administrative standpoint, sort of how do I make this actually work in a way in which I understand and kind of know what I'm doing and where I feel like somebody, I have a partner, somebody to kind of help me guide me through this and have my back in this was with you guys. So, because I remember talking to Ali and she's like, oh yeah, you can do this on your own. All you got to do is this, this, and this. I'm like, no. Like, no, Ali. Like, this is where I want to work with you guys because I know you and I trust you and, you know, it makes me feel like I have the support. And so that's sort of how it all kind of came into fruition. And so by that spring, I got to work with y'all's team, Laura and Noah, who just outstanding, kind of done any of it without them either. I was able to start these clinical opportunities where I could go do about a week a month, every 4 to 6 weeks initially, from Paris to Atlanta. And so I started racking up my frequent flyer miles. Air France and Delta is a partnership. I started figuring out sort of my how to, you know, when to sleep on the plane, when to stay awake, all that kind of stuff, you know. But it was a great opportunity because I still got to do PDNT. It didn't take very long. It only took a couple of months for me to be like, wait a second, I actually miss patients and I like practicing. And how do I want to keep that up in a way in which that allows me to still live in a way in which I want to? So,
well, I'm so glad you reached out.
No, it's like you guys totally gave me that opportunity. As much as Steve kind of gave me a clinical lifeline, a clinical opportunity, having you guys there to kind of help it, you know, actualize and be able to maintain it has been such an opportunity for me.
Well, yeah. Thank you for choosing to work with us. We always, when we talk to a doc, you know, we always talk about direct contracting. If you can direct contract, then that's a great way to go most of the time. But it's kind of complicated, I think, for some sites to do that, right? Because they do have to figure out malpractice insurance, and sometimes they like to have that middleman there to kind of schedule. But you're exactly right. Like, what we try to do is be an advocate. We're physicians first. We're able to play interference, all the things that you so eloquently said. And I'm glad that it's worked out well.
What do I need to look at in terms of a site? What are the questions I should be asking? You know, because I think it's funny because I think when you guys were talking to me initially, you're like, yeah, you never want to feel like you're alone or all of a sudden you're unprepared for something that comes in. And I remember talking to Steve and he was like, don't worry, you're not going to feel like you're on an island, you know? Mm-hmm. And to me, that's actually, those things are important for me. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm not prepared or I don't have the support or backup if I were to need it, right?
Right. Really important to know that the site has the equipment that you need, the coverage that you need when you leave, especially us, you know, surgeons, if you operate on someone
who's going to see them afterward.
Yeah, when you finish up. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's worked out. I mean, we've loved having you. And so you were going about a week a month. Is that right?
It was about every 4 to 6 weeks. I would try to take about 4 weeks in between at least. And some parts of the year it would stretch out to maybe six. Some parts of the year it was a little bit more frequent.
What was door-to-door? I'm curious to know about your logistics of the whole situation. I mean, I knew a little bit from, you know, our side of things, but I'd love to know about like door-to-door travel time, what you did for school for the kids, how you manage the visas.
Yeah. So for the visas, because again, we weren't working there, we did long stay tourist visas in Paris, which required us to fill out some paperwork and physically go to the first year to DC. And the second year, we had to come back to Atlanta to renew those long stay tourist visas, which also required us to provide our own health insurance, right? So at this point in our lives, Aaron is doing full-time back table. And he's doing some intermittent locums himself initially, but at this point, and for me also, kind of not sure. So we had to provide our own international health insurance. And then in terms of the kids' schools, because we were coming from a French immersion school in Dallas, we were able to kind of talk to them, to our old home school in Dallas, to kind of, do they know any international schools in Paris? What should we be looking for? Then we had to kind of do an application process for that. And I think we looked at about 3 or 4 schools. And then that spring before we left, we actually went to go check them out and meet people as well. And then in terms of housing, we did an Airbnb for the first like 6 months. And and once we figured out we wanted to stay longer, and once we had met other families, you know, expats, et cetera, we're like, oh, there's actually companies that can help you find a place that's willing to help you through the process to rent a long-term rental that's a little bit more affordable. And by then, if there's a different neighborhood, all that kind of stuff. So then we also worked with a company for the second part of our time there. And then in terms of door-to-door, so usually I would start when I was in Paris, I was mostly doing like Monday, 7 a.m. to the following Monday, 7 a.m. So I would usually fly out Saturday mid-morning from Paris, which would get me into Atlanta Saturday evening about with the time I'd gain some time. And I always gave myself an extra day because one, I did have an issue one time with a flight getting canceled. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to, I need to make sure I get there on time. And two, I just needed that extra day before I started to just in terms of jet lag and kind of let get a little rest, get my groceries, to get acclimated. So I would work and then sign out the following Monday at 7 a.m. And my flight, there was always an Atlanta-Paris flight Monday at 3 p.m. that I would hop back on. And I would be back that following morning, Tuesday morning, I think, is that, yeah, that's what it would turn into. By 6 a.m. I would land. I'd be back at our place between 7:30 and 8, depending on prayer or traffic, and I'd take my kids to school. That was my goal. I just want to get back.
That is, you just described being a badass jet setting.
I mean, but it was so worth it. It was so worth it, Mark, because then I had those following, you know, 4 weeks to be with my kids. Let's go walk to school. Our walk to school was amazing. We'd pass by the Trocadero in Paris, which had the most beautiful view of the Eiffel Tower. I'm going back and forth across that walk literally 4 times a day to take him to and from school and then pick him up to and from school. Like sometimes I'd have like a French class or something or whatever. It was really, and you know, the other thing is we're living there. So there's school activities, there this, there that. Like I wanted, you know, I would be able to
what
get
a great
back.
Experience.
And it was neat. I mean, it was an all road. It was definitely some challenges and learning experiences, but it was awesome. And we got to travel and just live a little differently at the time.
How's your French now?
Ah, je parle un peu. My Spanish is much better. My French is, it's a tough language, y'all. Très difficile.
You came from academic pediatric ENT to locums pediatric ENT. How did your pay compare?
Oh, yeah. So the locums pay is going to, to me, was is much better. But, you know, you are... It's not a fix. So meaning you're getting paid for when you go and, you know, realizing that that opportunity is not like a eternal opportunity. You know what I mean? It's not like a renewed contract. Like when they don't need you, they don't need you. And so, yes, the pay I think is better with locums, but I do think that there's some uncertainty with that. So that, I think that compensation is helpful. And again, with things like health insurance, you know, benefits, all that kind of stuff you're managing on your own.
How did you get your health insurance? What company do you
get
that through?
For when we lived abroad, we looked for health insurance companies that had a good international arm. So we did global, like Cigna has a global health insurance arm. And so that's kind of how we did it.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So what are you doing now?
So we moved back to the States this past summer of 2024, and we moved to San Diego at the end of July. My older one is we're in the north part of Pacific Beach, so he's in the PB Middle School. He's in seventh grade, and my younger one wanted to continue French, and so she's at the San Diego French American School. And I am still doing some work in Atlanta, and I just started doing some per diem outpatient work at Rady's with a PD&T group there, which is pretty cool.
Excellent. And I love that you are in San Diego right now from your back table studio.
Yes. Cool. I'm too short, but I have the hoodie on.
What was the creator weekend?
Oh,
is that what the hoodie said?
Yes. So we are trying, and they just did this on the IR side where they had a big in-studio weekend, a multidisciplinary with like 10, 15 guests to create a bunch of episodes. And this was with specific to hepatocellular carcinoma. So they had med-oncs, they had rad-onc, they had general surgeon, hepatobiliary surgeons, patient navigators, and created a bunch, like an entire series, which just got released. They're releasing it on the VI show as well as a new show called Back Table Tumor Board. And so if we can figure out how to, through medical education grants, they did that through a medical education grant with AstraZeneca. I'm hoping we can do that with some multidisciplinary ENT, whether it's head and neck cancer, nasal polyps, et cetera. We're working on that as well.
That's so cool. That's great. I love the studio. Love that you guys are back. had a good experience. Still doing a little bit of locums with us, but it sounds like no longer are you having to spend 2 days flying. Go back in a week.
I do. I really like the opportunity at Atlanta too. It's
well,
a good.
I hope you keep doing it. I know they love having you out there, but I'm sure they're happy to have
I'm
you
like,
there.
Thank you for the clinical
well.
Lifeline, Steve.
I need to put a link to the NoseBot in the show notes.
Definitely.
Yeah. So now you've been doing locums here for a couple years. Where do you see locums going in the next 5 to 10 years?
You know, I think that there's going to be a lot of need for locums. We see it already with within nursing. I think we're going to see it more and more within medicine, and we're seeing it more and more even in our subspecialties, surgical subspecialties and medical subspecialties. What I like about it is I feel like I have a little bit of autonomy. So when I'm there working, I'm happy to be there. I chose to, I feel like I'm choosing, because I'm literally choosing when I'm going to be working and what type of work and where. I like that aspect of it. And it also allows me some flexibility in terms of whether it's other passion projects to family to personal. It gives me a little bit more autonomy with my time as well.
Yeah, I think I hear that over and over again. And that's one thing I love about it is you do have autonomy over your schedule. You can pick your weeks or days more or less in advance. And sometimes, you've been pretty much at the one children's hospital. You haven't had to get credentialed at multiple places, but sometimes if people are looking to do this more full time, then they'll, like you said, they may recruit full time. They may not have the need as much. So usually there's other options available, but it seems like the one site has been sufficient for what you're needing to do.
I will tell you when I go to Atlanta, there's two, I've actually covered at three different of their Children's of Atlanta hospitals. And what I'll tell you is with these opportunities, being at different hospital systems in different cities in multiple hospital locations, I think there's a skill set that goes unrecognized or that's not as unvalued or not realized maybe as opposed to value. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't realize it, but there's a flexibility, in terms of a clinical flexibility. I have to, especially with communication, building trust quickly, knowing how different hospital systems navigate managing patients, follow up, whether it's building a relationship with the ER, with anesthesia, whether it's a routine abscess that needs to be admitted to an airway foreign body that's unstable, those types of relationships and kind of flexing and being able to communicate clearly, building teams. They don't know who I am. I'm the new person, right? It's humbling and it makes me kind of have to really sort of think what's the same consistent clinical aspect no matter where I go, but there's going to be a different, whether it's culture, a different order in which, a different, lever in which or, whatever that I have to adjust to get my patient, whatever that patient needs. There's some flexibility, which is, I think, a skill set that's kind of unrecognized when it comes to locums work.
Flexibility is absolutely key. That is a great point. It's not for everybody, right? Not everybody can go into those situations. There's an amount of rapport building you have to do pretty quickly, especially in peds, ENT, when you can potentially be dealing with some life and death situations.
Yeah, and it's the OR charge. Hey, can I add this case on? You have to build that rapport with the OR charge. They don't know me to the tech to, being okay with having to tell the OR every time you go in how you do your tonsils.
Right.
And that's okay to, the PICU that doesn't know who I am, and yet I'm the person on call, and we need to decide whether it's a good time to extubate the baby or not, right? So it is kind of having to be comfortable with reintroducing myself, making sure I'm okay with being the new person every time. And yet also, how do I read the room? It's a new room. It's a new environment. What's the system? I don't know this person. And what do I need to do so that we have a solid professional rapport? And it's most of the time good, but every once in a while, it can be really tough.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'd have insight into your own personality and your own ability to tolerate those differences. We're not saying do a procedure when you don't have the equipment you need, but if there's a 1 1/4 inch 27 gauge needle and you normally use a 1 1/2 inch, right?
Yeah.
Being able to, and the case needs to get done.
Yeah.
Being okay with that, not knowing exactly where every piece of equipment is, having a little bit of patience. Yeah, I will occasionally talk to people that are considering doing it, and you can kind of tell in a conversation quickly or not if you're like, you know what,
this
might not be the best option for you.
Right.
But for those that it is, for those that have those skills that you have, it can be a really good opportunity, and I'm glad that it seems like it's worked out well for you.
I had to develop them, Mark. I was at my old, at my prior position in Dallas. I was there as a fellow and student. I was there 9 years, you know, so you get real comfortable and real used to how things are. So this has actually been a good learning experience for me.
Well, and that's, it's quite a leap too, to go from, it's one thing if you're in a, like a rural site and you're seeing bread and butter ENT in a clinic, right? Like that's a lot, I think a lot easier. There's a little bit more ability if you're not able to have your skills quite to the level you do versus going in and dealing with these really acute issues. I mean, that really takes a special surgeon, and you totally excel at it.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so I have fast five questions for you.
Okay.
All right. These are largely going to be travel-based since you did an awesome life adventure with your family over in Paris. So favorite city in Europe?
Oh, God. Paris. It was home for us for 2 years. We met wonderful people and it's beautiful. It's great. I loved it. Yes.
Your essential travel item?
Toothbrush. Can I have more than one? And deodorant? You're not going to have the same deodorant in every country.
That's fair. What did you miss the most from the USA when you were abroad? Now, I know you were coming back you know, on a regular basis, but you know, mostly to work. But was there one thing you missed the most?
Mexican food.
You don't have Mexican food in Paris?
Not ours. Now I'm getting into the Cali-Mex, which is delicious as well. Before it was the Tex-Mex. Yeah, 100%.
What is a travel destination that you want to visit that you haven't been to yet? Top of the list.
That I haven't been to yet? I would say I haven't been to that many places in South America. I would love to go check out Chile and other countries down there.
Yeah, Patagonia would be very, very cool, I'm sure. We did a weekend in Santiago a few years ago, like 3 days. Yeah, it was, I rented a car. For some reason, I'm still renting cars. I'm still get home and I'll get like Australia. I just got a $1,200 ticket.
No, that's Australia. Amazing.
Yeah, I was using my map to navigate or my phone to navigate in Brisbane.
That's amazing.
It was Australian, so I guess it was only 800 US.
Wow.
I had paid it though, because like, first of all, I felt bad I broke their laws. I didn't know it was a law, but in Chile, we rented a car and drove out of the airport, immediately got pulled over.
Wow.
Flagged down by like two officers. And I thought, well, what the hell? Is this a shakedown or whatever? Yeah. So they checked my passport and then I don't even know why I moved on, but yeah. So Chile is kind of cool, but we definitely head down to Patagonia. We didn't make it. We didn't have time. We just kind of hung around the city. Yeah, try
some
wine.
That's pretty amazing, though. I would love to jet set for 3 days.
Well, I'd love to live in Paris and jet set back and forth.
Yeah.
This is away from travel, but the last question. What's one thing that you wish your colleagues understood about locums?
There's a muscle, and I think I kind of said this, maybe it's repetitive, but there's a muscle, this muscle of being able to communicate and being flexible. I think that that it's super challenging. I think it kind of gives us that perspective of, you know, being the new person somewhere, developing relationships and a team quickly. I think that we take that for granted. I don't think that's an undervalued skill, and it's very humbling because nobody knows you. You're the new person. So I think that's actually something about locums that I value very much.
Thank you so much for telling us all about your experience doing locums in the US while living abroad. And talking about Backtable, can you tell us how our listeners can find out more about you and about Backtable?
Yeah, you can email me at gopi@backtable.com and our website, backtable.com. We're on Instagram, LinkedIn.
What podcast do you have? I know you have the Backtable ENT podcast.
There's Backtable ENT, Backtable Urology, Backtable OBGYN, the flagship show, Backtable Vascular Interventional, Backtable Innovations, as well as Backtable MSK, Musculoskeletal. So there's a lot. Yeah.
How often are those drop? Are those every week? Those are going out?
Urology, ENT are every week. OBGYN, I think, is 2 to 4 times a month. MSK is about around that, maybe twice a month. Vascular Interventionals, anywhere between 4 to 8 episodes a month. They sometimes will release twice a week.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Gopi, Dr. Shah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Stop calling me Dr. Shah. I'm like, who are you? Thank you for having me, Mark. It's been a pleasure. It's been so much fun. Thanks.
You have been listening to Let's Locums, a podcast brought to you by SpecialtyLocums.com and hosted by Drs. Mark and Allison Royer.
SpecialtyLocums.com is a physician-run locum tenens company. We're dedicated to providing the best locum tenens opportunities for our amazing healthcare providers. Join us every week as we dive deep into the world of locum tenens.